Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive, turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud.
I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for.
Okay, so welcome again. My name is Edna White. I am your host for today and facilitator of Learning to Forgive Yourself and Letting Go of the Guilt and the Shame. My story is, I am a childhood sexual abuse survivor. I have experienced childhood sexual abuse from the age of 5 all the way to the age of 14. My perpetrator was close and friendly. And I just didn't have one perpetrator, I had like 4. But I learned through all of that to be able to thrive with the help of all the tools that I have. And I was able to have, you know, get therapy. And I was able to say, hey, you know, there's other people out here that are going through this situation and they need my help. So in 2015, I started a business that is called The Second Chance. And The Second Chance is all about every day we get a second chance to do something that we did the day before, the another way. So it's on the premise of really looking at your life and saying, I can do this work and I know that I can make it. I know that I can really succeed in life. But I know that there's a better way to do it. And so I provide workshops, trainings, one-to-ones, group coaching, presentations for those that have, that's for those that want to learn and educate themselves on the experiences that I have gone through. So one of the things that I've really gone through is learn to forgive myself. And we talk about and we hear it, and we, especially when we go to church, forgive and forget. Those are the two things they say. And forgive for those that slap you on one side of the cheek and you turn the other cheek and let them slap you. Forgive. We've heard that. We've heard it. But never have we ever heard how you do that. With all these emotions that are going on in our body and in our lives, how do we literally forgive? How do we really say, hey, I heard it, but how do we forgive? Well, no one told me as I was forgiving all my perpetrators, letting them off the hook, you know, being nice to them, no one told me that I had to be nice to myself. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Forgiving yourself. The first person you're supposed to have forgiven was you. Because I know in my mind, even as a kid, I thought, I can't say anything because I don't want to mess the family up. I don't want to hurt my family. I don't want to, you know, rip the family apart, you know. Then as I got older, I don't want to say anything because mom's going to be mad at me. You know, she calls herself solving the problem, but I don't want to mess that up. Then when I got older, I just let it happen. I said, oh, you know, I just let it happen. I could have fought. I could have did something. I could have, you know, but I didn't. All those steps and all those situations of trauma on top of trauma, and we never got an instance or a second or a thought or a breath to say, hey, what about me? And through all of the therapy that I had since I was 18, not once did anyone say anything about forgiving yourself. And the only time that I heard forgiveness to myself was in my 40s. Now, think of the space between therapy at 18 to 40s. 30 years of forgiving everybody for their trollopness, for all of the infractions on my life, for just trampling on me, beating me, hurting me, saying things that were nice, forgiving them, smiling, and not really meaning it. Because it was hurtful, it was painful. I didn't forgive myself. I could have did something. All the coulda, shoulda, wouldas is all the places where you should be saying, forgive, I forgive myself for saying that, or forgive myself that I didn't know that. Forgive that, you know, all those things to loosen yourself from the chains that bind you to that perpetration, to that person, to that thing, to whatever was happening. To loosen yourself from that. I've seen so many of my colleagues and friends live in the space of, you know, they deserve punishment and fighting a good fight, and they're fighting against it to take them to court and doing all these things. And I'm saying, when you're filled with that much hatred, there's no space really for forgiveness, even of them or yourself. And what happens with all that hatred still inside of you, you end up hurting yourself. You end up wearing your body down. You end up, you know, living in a space of, I'm all alone. You live in that space. You reside there. You stay there. And you don't know how to get out because no one has taught you. So today, we're going to go through that, and I'm going to do it, hope in 30 minutes, but if I don't, please forgive me. I'll keep recording. You guys can go away. I don't have it on YouTube, I promise you. So I'm going to stop talking right now, and I'm going to get to the slides, okay? Let's see. So I'm going to share the screen. I'm going to go to the windows. No, we're not going to go here. Here we go. Okay. So, again, we are on learning to forgive, right? We're on learning to forgive. And It's loading. It's taking longer than it's supposed to. Learn to forgive yourself and let go of the guilt and shame. And when I say let go, I mean, when you're holding on to something, you just don't, sometimes you let it go because somebody tells you to, but when you're really holding on to something, you let one finger at a time go, step by step. It's not all at once. So I just want you to be clear on that. Letting go. Letting go is a process, okay? Letting go is an ongoing thing, okay? So understanding guilt and shame, and even, and let me just be clear. When you're in this situation, when you're feeling this way, right, it's an addiction. It's part of addiction. When you're in a place that you can't seem to get out of and you keep doing the same exact thing, it's an addiction. It becomes a habit. An addiction is nothing but a habit. A habit that forms, that kind of separates you from you being your whole self. It's an add-on to what you're doing. It predicates, or it kind of agitates where you are in your life. So in this active addiction of not forgiving yourself and forgiving everybody else is a semblance of people pleasing. It's a semblance of that, okay? And it drives you to extreme measures of satisfying other people. Just like addictions satisfies the cravings, it satisfies the addiction of satisfying someone else. And why do you do that? For validation. I have the addiction of validation, the addiction of making somebody else feel good. Just like the addiction of food, right? You it's the same thing, the addiction to be able to be validated by other people outside of yourself. The same cycle of addiction that leads to the actions that cause guilt and shame, those are the same actions that you, when you are people-pleasing, because listen, not forgiving yourself is people-pleasing. Dress it up. Make it like a Christmas tree. Do what you want. Dress it up as whatever you want it to be. It's people-pleasing. Okay? So you will suffer. You will suffer from that, you know, because it's like an addiction. The cycle of addiction leads to actions that cause you to feel guilty. So just like that. So let's say you say to someone, hey, I'll do that for you. Now, you have to move your schedule around, shuffle your kids around, shuffle what you're doing around in order to make them feel good so that you can continue, so you can satisfy them. But then after you do it, you feel mad guilty. You like, oh my God, I shouldn't have did that. Because I didn't have time for that. Now I'm late to pick up my son. I'm late to pick up my dog. I'm late to fix food for myself. I'm late to fix food for my husband. I'm late to do something else for me. Right? Then you have that cycle of guilt and shame. Guilt and shame are temporarily numbered by using the addictive substance or the addictive behavior. So guilt and shame, so the next day you do the same exact thing to kind of cover that up. Say you do something else. You say yes. You keep saying yes to cover up the other yeses that you should have said no to. The same guilt and shame related to addiction and recovery is the same that has to do with forgiveness. Okay? In recovery, these feelings resurface all the time. You see, sitting in the car and you say, I don't know why I did that. And I had to do this and I had to do that. Now I'm tired. I can't be with my husband. I can't be with my children. I put all their lives on the line before mine, and my life is on the line. And you start to feel regrets. And you start to go over all of what you've done and think about the past mistakes. Start to emphasize the feelings of guilt and shame You start to think about them, you know, start thinking about them. Oh my God, I shouldn't have, you know, I should have did this and I shouldn't have did that. And you start to emphasize them more. But it drives you to continue to do what you do so you can cover up what you did before. You highlight the importance of learning to let go of these. You need to highlight that because the importance of letting go of these feelings is for your personal growth. So why do we feel guilt and shame? I think we went over this. We said that, right? Guilt serves as our conscience, okay? As many of my clients deal with their children, even if they're adults, in a form of guilt at what they didn't provide them before. And then they end up getting worse and being worse along the way, right? Our value system is off. It may look good, you know, or seem good, but it's off. You know, whether it be societal norms or influences or even your family, socially, your family, it's off. Guilt signals the need to reconsider our actions and make different choices. So guilt signals if you know something, is you don't need to do something, guilt will go, hey, you need to do this because this is what happened. If you don't, I don't feel good. If you don't, they're not going to validate me. If you don't, it starts to signal these things that are all lies. And then in your mind, ignoring that guilt can lead to complete, soon as you start thinking of ignoring it, you start getting embarrassed and shameful. Oh, if I don't, oh my God, they're gonna think this of me. You start thinking about what they're gonna feel. Never mind that you're tired and that you might fall asleep at the wheel. Never mind all that. You didn't get sleep for 24 hours. Never mind all that. You're gonna do this. Overwhelming shame may lead you to hiding or covering up mistakes. And I've seen this with a lot of my clients is they, yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, but it's okay. You know, I'm in this relationship. I made a mistake. I saw the signals, but it's okay. It's all right. I got to go through this whole thing. I got to live 42 years, 50 years with somebody. Got to stay with them because I made the mistake in the beginning. I saw the signals. I didn't listen. And I'm getting this punishment now, but it's okay. The cycle continues. Okay, it just continues and continues when you don't address it. You emphasize the importance. I want to emphasize the importance of breaking the cycle right now. Because guess what? It's important for your personal growth. Now, we're going to break the cycle of the guilt and shame. The one step that you need to really remember, and let me just tell you this, I went to church so I wouldn't do this. I went to church so I wouldn't face our wrongs, acknowledge and verbalize our mistakes. Now, I'm not talking about the perpetration. I'm talking about afterwards. Okay. I went to church so I wouldn't have to get involved with taking responsibility and being accountable. I started to overlook things because I wasn't prepared to accept the consequences. But part of growing is you have to prepare to accept the consequences so you can grow. Correcting our wrongs. They may not, for me as a childhood sexual abuse survivor, right? There was no wrong in it for me. The adult had the responsibility, right? But when I got older, I had to take the responsibility of getting counseling and acknowledging. The first thing you have to do is breaking the cycle is acknowledge that it happened. Acknowledge that you should not be doing what you're doing. Okay. Acknowledging that, yes, there's a problem with me. I got a problem. Not the person I'm dealing with, not the person I'm in a relationship with, my friends, family, whatever. I got a problem. Edna got a problem. So Edna has to connect with that. Edna has to connect with facing what I did to kind of contribute to that. What part of this that was not healed had a part in this whole debacle of the relationship? Because let's just face it, everything we do here on this earth is about relationships. It's not about job. It's not about, what we do. It's not about who we see. It's a relationship that we have with that person that affects the total actions, the involvement that we have with them is the reason why that either grows or dies. So we have to correct our wrongs. We have to find out ways to make amends for actions. And they say this in the addiction counseling. All that we do is habit turns to an addiction, turns to a pattern, then turns to addiction. That's what it is. A habit, pattern, addiction. Only thing that's different is you're using a different thing. You're using your action of people pleasing instead of a needle. You're using the action of saying yes when you really mean no. It's people pleasing. So out of all of this, if you don't get anything else, holding on to guilt and shame, right, has to do with you pleasing people, right? You not forgiving yourself has to do with you pleasing people in general. Has nothing to do with anything else. If you forgive yourself first, it's so much easier to forgive people. So much easier to relate to people. So much easier to say, hey, you're in relationship with people. But when you don't forgive yourself, when you have an argument with whomsoever on your job, they're the wrong person. You don't think about what you've done in the relationship because you haven't forgiven yourself from years ago. All right? Even if there's some damage, and it can't be repaired, contribute positively if others are, or to others, or if you're in society. Here's a perfect example. My second marriage, I got divorced. Of course, Edna, if you guys know Edna, I had a divorce party. So this is like, why did you get divorced? Blah, blah, blah. People that didn't know me, out of my five friends, didn't know me. And I said, well, we were divorced because, and I thought about it. And I started to like, tell the story, what he did. And I was like, well, I have to own my part in this. And he has to own his part. But right now, all I can do is own what I didn't do right on my part. But I know that it wasn't going anywhere. And that's why we got divorced. So owning your part and owning your contribution to it negatively will make you see things differently, good or bad. So asking forgiveness. Here's something that I love to talk about. Asking forgiveness. How do I ask myself for forgiveness? Just like you ask everybody else for forgiveness. See, when you are asking for forgiveness, right, for yourself, you're not talking to the adult homegirl. You're talking to the smaller or the younger version of yourself. Wherever the perpetration happened, you're talking to that person. So you're the parent reparenting your child, and you're asking forgiveness. Just like I asked my children for forgiveness of marrying their father and not knowing this would happen. And, you know, I asked for your forgiveness because I set them up, you know, and it wasn't their fault. It was me. My choice, my consequences. I have to say sorry for them. You may not like that, but it made me a better person. It created in me someone that is not fearful of who they are around anybody. It made me really sincere and loving. So you have to ask your younger self to forgive you. You know, I'm an adult now. Yes, you acted out when I had a relationship, right? Oh, yes. And you acted out. You showed up. And you were trying to tell me something. I didn't listen. I forgive you. And I forgive myself as an adult, not knowing that my younger child was crying out and needed some love. Forgive yourself. Give yourself some sincere grace, some sincere empathy. Before you start pouring out to other people, before you become an empath to everybody else's pain, how about applying some of that empathy to you first? Then you wouldn't be so empathetic and crying for everybody else, because you wouldn't cry for the real person that needed tears. It's you. You've been crying and let it go and let go of the guilt and shame. Now, it's not easy. It's not easy to own up to the stuff that you know. It's not easy to do that. But if you do it, I promise you, you will not only gain the respect of your adult self, but your child self, right? You will learn to respect other people more so in being judgmental. Did you see him or her in those types? You wouldn't even care, right? Then think about this. Just like you can ask somebody to forgive you out in person, right? They may not want to forgive you. But guess what? Okay. But the action of you doing it and releasing it, like a burp, okay? Like a burp, it's okay. People, they may not like that you burped. Even though you say, excuse me, they may not like it. But you did it, and it's out of you. Do you get that? Guilt and shame resides in the body, stays there, harms the body, affects your mind, your soul, okay? It never upsets your spirit. It always upsets your mind, your body, and your soul. The soul is all of you, who you are in being. Your spirit is always clean. You just don't listen to it. Forgiving ourselves is essential for the healing process. I've heard so many of my clients and so many of my friends say, oh, I've forgiven them. I said, have you forgiven yourself? What are you talking about? I was like, first of all, you have to forgive yourself. I don't got nothing to forgive myself for. It was all their fault. I said, yeah, okay. But there's things in your mind that you think about. Subconsciously, you think about. It relieves the lingering guilt and shame. It relieves it. It gets rid of it. It really does. I'm telling you, when I started doing it for myself, I found that I didn't do a lot of I shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And if I did, I tell myself, stop it right now. Right? Self-forgiveness is a crucial step. It's the first step. It's the only step before you do anything with anybody else about forgiveness. So anybody says, I'll forgive that person, and they go, nonsense. What about the first step? The first step. If you're a Bible believer, right? It says, go back to your first love. What's your first love? Who did you love first? I'll wait. It wasn't God, because you didn't know that. It was yourself. When you stood up and you started to walk, who did you trust? You didn't want your parents to touch you. Who did you trust? Yourself. Common sense. So I'm going to skip. Oh, no, I might do this. So how do we face our wrongs? We face our wrongs because we got to address the guilt and shame, right? We got to recall the memories. Recalling the memories mean writing in your journal, okay? You got to reflect on each year or each moment, whenever you feel that there's something going on, reflect on it. Sit down. If you can't sit down, grab your phone, put on a recorder, and say it into the phone. You gotta recall those memories. Document, you know, write it down, journal. Identify conflicting values. I thought I felt this way, but I don't feel, I really don't, I don't know, I'm not sure if I feel this way. You know, I don't know. Life is about challenging everything you know that you thought you knew. That's what it's about. Because things change. Every season change. Every season is not the same. As you know, in general, as we look at our world today, you know, we go back in time when we were little kids. Did winter feel like this? Probably not. You know, did the sun look like that? Probably not. So documenting some of those things, identifying those conflicting values that you had. Recognize who it affects. Remember I talked about, you know, saying, apologizing to my children. You know, it affected them. My choice affected them. And don't think you want them to be better than you or, you know, better or do things better if you never apologize for choosing who you were married to, who you had them by, and there was all this conflict and all these problems. You can't overstep that. You can't say, oh, well, that's okay. That's okay. They'll deal with it. No, no, no. You got to say, I didn't make a good choice, but you can. Consider both direct and indirect impact. Your grandchildren, same thing. Your actions spoke very loudly to the generations that to come. Here's the thing that I love. 5, analyze your motivation. Why did you do what you did to get what you got? Why? When I started using that, I was like, oh my gosh, I know why. You know, I know why. I started using the tool belt that God gave me. The tools that he gave me to be, oh, I know why. Intuition, I asked my intuition. I asked my inner preacher, hey, why did I do that? What was going on with me? And guess what? I got the answer. Reflect on the reasons behind why you did what you did. Why the decisions you made, what you made. Reflect on that. Explore alternatives. How can I turn this around? Because listen, everything can be turned around. Everything can be tweaked. Everything can be pivoted. But you have to explore that. Explore how to take an alternative or take responsibility and now pivot it to make it better. Now, processing the wrongful actions of for personal growth. In order for us to do, and I'm going to go over them, we already said them, recognize unforeseen impacts. Recognize them. That takes documentation, inner work, that takes you going inside and say, this is what I've done, realizing it. Understanding motivation. Why did I do what I did? Right? Self-improvement commitments. I am committing to myself that I'm going to choose better. I'm going to be selfish and I'm going to prioritize my well-being. I'm going to make considerations and conscious decisions, strategically think before I do anything else from this point on. I'm going to realize what my values are made of, if they're real, if they're not. I'm going to avoid doing the same things that I did before. I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to take the lesson. I'm going to use the power of processing. I'm going to thoroughly examine my past wrongs and help, and so that they can help me and prevent me from doing future mistakes. Now, perfect example, something simple as this. Someone invites you to a party. It's a Tupperware party. Now, you've decided that what got you in trouble was before was impetuous spending, right? Again, people pleasing. Impetuous spending. So I'm not going to do that. When you go to this party, right? Do you buy something because you're going to the party, or do you stick to your guns? Well, that was one of the situations that I was faced with just a few days ago. I stuck to my guns. Then my ego started saying, oh, they're going to look like you don't know how to. I said, I am prioritizing what's important to me. I'm being selfish, and this makes me feel good, not the fact that somebody else has to validate me. And I was able to reevaluate and renew my personal values and make a good decision and stick to it and not beat myself up. That's the power of processing, right? Look at your value system. Examine it. One of my value systems were that I was taught is the root of the love of money is the root of all evil. But as I examine that, there's a comma that has to go with that. For all the Bible readers, there's a comma. We don't go and look at that comma because the comma in grammar is but. And then it says the rest of it. So we look at I was taught that part only, not the comma part. So I built a lot of values and systems that I built was around the love of money is the root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of evil. And I built it on that, the premise, I don't need money. I never should ask for money. I'm not worth money. I'm not worth anything. I should not get paid for what I'm worth. I should not have money. I should always struggle. Those are the things that were going on. Reevaluate your system and examine it. It's time for you to facilitate self-discovery. Personal growth. There's times in your lives that you're going to need to do this, right? And you're going to need to maintain your value system. And it takes self-reflection and it takes examination. And I call this time the pause. You know how nothing's happening when you're in the stuck mode? Nothing happens. You don't know which way to go. That's not stuck, that's paused. You have been put on pause to go through this process. So now that you, how can we correct our wrongs? Acknowledge the wrong that was committed. Brainstorm ways to make amends. Seek advice with I wouldn't say close friends and family. I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to take that off. I'll tell you why. Because I just learned this today. Because they can have conflicting thoughts about it. I would say consult with a coach or a counselor or a therapist. Options for making amends is a gift to the person. It's just like the addiction. But here's the thing with the addiction, I would jump down to doing something for someone else that doesn't have anything to do with you. Like, taking your Christmas, and I did this for 5 years with my kids, taking Christmas off. We had Christmas in the morning, then we get dressed by 12, and we go serve somebody else. Okay? Spend time with somebody that has no connection with you, and you see the value of what it means to really be in a place of correcting your wrongs. Now, we get into the area of how to forgive. Now, this is how to ask forgiveness from somebody in person. But I want you to think about what I said about being in the place of asking forgiveness from yourself. So you're the adult now, or you're the 18-year-old, or you're the 30-year-old, or you're the 50-year-old, or 70-year-old. And you're standing there. Who do I ask forgiveness from? You meet with yourself and you sit there and you apologize. and you openly discuss it means you have a whole conversation, not in your brain, with your mouth.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.
You let the feelings that you're feeling come up. It's sad, happy, weird, wrong, whatever. Let them come up. Because feelings are meant to be felt. And then you validate them. I'm supposed to feel this way. And you caress or, you know, rub your arm, hug yourself, hold yourself, whatever it has to do. And I teach this in my inner child healing classes. Whatever you have to do for yourself, to hold yourself, to make you feel good. And you offer a formal apology. And sometimes, even with yourself, how do you make amends? And I'm going to tell you my answer that I've gotten. My little self said to me, don't let this happen to your kids or your grandkids. That's what my little self said to me as an adult. And guess what I'm doing? Not letting it happen. Everything I know about personal development, self-development, growth, I share with my kids and my grandkids. Be ready to follow through. Follow through. Be ready and willing and able. Whatever your small child says, do it. Don't wait. Don't contemplate. Don't talk yourself out of it. Get right on it. And always communicate honestly. Because that goes back to the why. Remember? The why. The why. So how do we forgive ourselves? The key message is dwelling in the past can hinder progress and happiness. And remember I told you every time I come out of a speaking engagement, I said, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Stop it. I tell myself, stop. And I don't even add a comma. I just say stop. And I get off of it. Don't dwell on the past. It can hinder your progress and happiness. And here, exercises of letting go of the past, okay? One of the exercises my therapist gave me is I wrote down all this stuff, right? I wrote down what I experienced in the past. I wrote it down, right? And how I felt about it. First, you write down what happened. Then you write how you felt about it. Then you write what you would tell the person. Three things. Then the last thing you say, I forgive me and I let you free. I forgive me and I let you free. Now, when you do that, you're either burning that piece of paper, you're burying it, you're ripping it up, blowing it in the wind, minute pieces, whatever you're doing, but you're destroying it. It's an exercise to let you know that you're letting go. Another way is talk therapy. I love that. You know, I've done that. Writing therapy, journaling, just writing whatever. Just keep writing. Symbolic forgiveness is writing that information on a piece of paper and letting it go. Okay. Prayer and meditation. Prayer is about you. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. How can I line up? You know, how can I line up? What do I need to line up to do this, to line up my life Meditation is about just not even clearing your mind. It's being aware of what your mind is thinking so you can redirect your mind, right? Mindfulness meditation is knowing what your mind is thinking and learning to hear what's behind what you're hearing and releasing that past mistake, releasing that past issue. Imagery is nothing but drawing, right? You visualize what happened, or you can draw it and just create a cloud that just dissipates. I want to emphasize the importance of letting go to move forward and enjoy the present. I didn't say the future, but I said the present. We don't live in the present enough. We live in the future. We're always thinking about the future, the troubles in the future. We don't live in the present. We don't live in the moment. Like, we're not right here, right now. We're thinking about, I got to go to bed, got to do this, got to do that. We're always thinking in the future. When you live in the present, when you live in the present, you receive so much more. Living a life free of guilt and shame, it's important to address the guilt and shame. Don't ignore it. Don't put it on the rug. Don't act like it didn't happen. Acknowledge it. And we already talked about this. Define your values. What do you really believe about this? Is it really true? Or is it fake? Let your values, your real values, your true values, when you figure it out, guide you. Guide your behavior. Take some time, step back and say, and not give an answer right away, but consult your values in the uncertain situations. Is this true? Is it not? Reflect. Correct your actions, right? Evaluate your behavior. Just like you debrief when you come home from work about the day, you debrief of how my behaviors was, right? You debrief on your beliefs. Guilt and shame can hinder your personal growth and your addictive behaviors, okay? Resolve these emotions. That's all it is. It's really emotions that get you stuck in what you do. And you have to realize that it's nothing more than emotions that we are built on. There's only two emotions that we're built on, love and fear. Two things. Everything else, fear has so many arms to it. Breeds all the bad things that happen in your life. Love breeds all the good things that happen. Two emotions. So when you're out of love, you're definitely in fear. So I know you know stuff about me already. So I don't want to go through that. But now it's 8:23, and I want to see if anyone has any questions at all. Let's see. Nope. No questions. Well, if you think of any questions and you want to share your point of view, please let me know. You can leave a message under the comment section. And also look for me on events for December 18th. And then in January 2024, I will have my events, that workshops, in the comment section of each video from this point on. But thank you for being here. And I hope that you learned something on how to forgive yourself. It may be hard to, it may be not a healthy place to be in, but I hope you do forgive yourself, because I'm telling you, it's the best place you could be. Thank you so much. My name is Edna White, and I look forward to seeing you the next time around. Bye for now. To
story be the fire. Let your pain be the spark. We rise together, igniting the dark.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.